This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 20, Number 3, July 2019. The title of this article is Research on MOOCs in Major Referred Journals, The Role and Place of Content. The authors of this article are Abdelghany Babouri of the University of Lille and Hassan First University, Abdelkarim Zaid of ESPELNF Graduate School of Teaching and Education, Lille North of France, and Hicham Firi Fassi of Hassan First University. Abstract. Over the last decade, several studies have focused on massive open online courses. The synthesis presented here concentrates on these studies and aims to examine the place held by content in these studies, especially those produced between 2012 and 2018. 65 peer-reviewed papers are identified through 5 major educational technology research journals. The analysis revealed that these research articles covered a wide diversity of content. Content was mainly defined in terms of objectives of MOOCs, prerequisites required for participation in the MOOC, types of learning scenarios, and, though rarely, through the strategies used to convey content. In addition, empirical studies adopted a variety of conceptual frameworks which focused mainly on learning strategies without relating to the content in question. Finally, content was seldom considered as a research object. These results can provide MOOC researchers and instructors with insights for the study and design of MOOCs by taking into account the specificity of their content. Keywords: MOOC, research review, didactics, content, introduction. The rise of MOOCs is part of an unprecedented development of collaborative teaching and learning practices based on the intensive use of connected technologies. This growth is concomitant with the context of massification of university education, where MOOCs are perceived as able to promote personal and social emancipation, as well as lifelong learning, particularly for those who are unable to attend universities regularly to follow a face-to-face curriculum. Following up on learners in these open and massive training systems benefits from the development of tools and methods for systematic text mining, automatic language processing, and recommendations generation combining user profiles, content descriptions, classification, filtering, trace analysis, and so on. In this context of rapid change, academic institutions, mainly in the United States and Europe, have enthusiastically committed to supporting MOOCs to diffuse a large variety of content to a wide range of audiences. Nevertheless, the original idea that raised high expectations on the part of university training institutions, that of the potential for innovation and openness, has been transformed into a mechanistic strategy aiming at increasing the number of MOOC participants. Great difficulties prevent the transformation of the pedagogical discourse around MOOCs into relevant pedagogical practices. One of the main difficulties seems to be the naturalization of the principles underlying the elaboration, transmission, and construction of the content being conveyed. This context has raised and guided several studies of MOOCs, a form of teaching and learning that is dynamic and experiencing rapid growth. This is evidenced by the production of multiple literature reviews since 2008, published in journals specializing in educational technologies. These research reviews have highlighted the fact that MOOCs have been analyzed both in terms of design and from the perspective of scientific knowledge production. Two objectives emerge from the previous research. On the one hand, some of these studies sought to undertake a comprehensive analysis in order to take stock of the studies at a specific moment. The first study on MOOC research trends, by Liana Gunnardina et al., reviewed 45 published MOOC studies in order to identify the themes of the MOOCs and the phases of their evolution. 1 year later, Eben and Murphy examined empirical studies to determine the themes in MOOC research in two phases, titled Connectivist MOOCs, Engagement and Creativity, 2009-2011, and ZMOOCs, Learning Analytics, Assessment and Critical Discourses about MOOCs, 2012-2013. Around the same time, Youssef et al. Reviewed 84 MOOC studies to gain a deep understanding of key concepts in this emerging field. Kasevic et al. Outlined the specific finding of an analysis of the research proposals submitted to the MOOC Research Initiative funded by the Gates Foundation and administered by Athabasca University. Furthermore, Velich, Sinis, and Sheffertson reviewed 183 empirical MOOC papers published between 2013 and 2015 in order to explore the geographical distribution, research components, article citations, and research methodologies of MOOC studies. The following year, Boskert et al. Conducted a systematic review of 362 empirical articles with the aim of identifying trends and patterns in research on MOOCs, similar to this research, but with a different scope. Zaaki Richter et al. Published another review using a text mining tool to analyze the titles and abstracts of publications in academic journals. On the other hand, other studies sought to focus on a specific theme or a particular issue, taking stock of the characteristics attributed to MOOCs such as openness or retention. Examining collaboration between educational institutions on MOOCs launched in Europe and in the US for the previous 10 years, analyzing the literature on MOOC learner retention and engagement from a vocational education and training perspective, exploring innovations in scalable learning strategies that aim to create a more active learning experience, questioning the so-called disruptive innovation nature of MOOCs in training or certification programs and the economic models adopted, questioning the social and ethical dimensions of MOOCs, summarizing the studies that focused on the environments that integrate MOOCs into traditional classes courses, reporting on the methodological approaches adopted in the scientific literature on MOOCs, and analyzing the interdisciplinary nature of research on MOOCs. These literature reviews provide a valuable synthesis of trends and patterns in research on MOOCs. However, given that content constitutes a core component of MOOCs, it would be beneficial to investigate how it is questioned and analyzed. Some literature reviews examined the learning process in MOOCs, such as Lee, Watson, and Watson, who conducted a systematic review of empirical research on self-regulated learning strategies in MOOCs, or Wang, who examined the literature covering the characteristics of teaching in MOOCs, the profile of participants, the instructional design of course materials, and or the course assessment methods. However, the literature concerned with MOOC content needs to be explored in order not only to reveal the various content areas covered by empirical studies, but also to better understand the research issues about content and determine the gaps in the research so as to address them in the future. Thus, the objective of this review is to provide a more comprehensive study of the literature related to MOOC content by scrutinizing the articles published in peer-reviewed journals between January 2012 and January 2018. More specifically, this literature review will attempt to respond to the following research questions. What are the content areas covered by empirical studies of MOOCs? How was content defined in the analyzed research? Do the adopted conceptual frameworks take into account the specificity of the content conveyed by MOOCs? Does the content conveyed by the MOOCs analyzed constitute a fully fledged research object, and if so, how? Research methodology, selecting journals and articles. Five major referred journals were reviewed for this study. We selected journals based on their 5-year H index and H median Google Scholar metrics. Among the five journals selected are the four journals considered top publications in the educational technology field, based on the research methodology adopted by Nicow and Economides, who focused on mobile-based assessment. We searched the journals in Google Scholar's main category of social sciences, within the subcategory educational technology. Figure 1 shows these four top journals with their H index and H median. Figure 1. The top four educational technology research journals in 2019. We added the journal Distance Education since it is considered one of the five key journals in Scopus that publishes research related to MOOCs. Hence, the journals selected for this review are Computers and Education, British Journal of Educational Technology, the International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, the Internet and Higher Education, and Distance Education. These journals are all ranked in the first quartile in the SE Imago Journal Rank Indicator. Table 1 shows their SJR and impact factors. Table 1. Characteristics of the selected journals. We then selected articles published in one of the five selected journals according to three criteria, published between January 1, 2012 and January 1, 2018, dealing explicitly with MOOCs, so that the keyword MOOC or Massive Open Online Course must be in the title or abstract, and written in English. The year 2012 was selected as a starting point since it was considered as the year of the MOOC by the New York Times. In order to select only articles that correspond to our research goals, Criteria were applied in two stages. In the first stage, we excluded studies that failed to provide precise research questions or objects of research and methodologies, papers oriented towards engineering that addressed topics such as software development, software engineers, and platform development, return of experience or expertise, doctoral theses and books, and articles not reporting empirical research. To complete the selection phase, the three members of the research team read the abstract of each article so as to consider only empirical research. If no decision could be made by examining the abstract, the full paper was examined. Previous research reviews were also retained in order to provide some insights into the trends already observed in the literature. The researchers then independently validated the inclusion-exclusion criteria for each article. The intercoder agreement rate for coding was 92.30%. The result was 65 articles which fit the criteria above. Table 2 shows the distribution of the articles that were found to be relevant for this study in the selected top journals. Table 2 reveals that most articles were published in the International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, followed by Computers and Education, Distance Education, British Journal of Educational Technology, and the Internet and Higher Education. An in-depth analysis of the 65 articles was undertaken on the basis of an analytical framework that facilitated data coding. The grid included both multiple choice and open-ended questions and had four sections: writing characteristics, conceptual framework adopted, information on the empirical elements of the research, and the role of the training content analyzed, namely whether or not it was an object of research. Analysis method: using a thematic content analysis technique, the analysis was carried out through the following two steps. First, for each item in the grid, excerpts identified in all of the articles were collected and read repeatedly by the analysts in order to propose thematic categories. Then, the excerpts were divided into units of meaning, that is, shorter segments of text that can be associated with a category. For example, for research in which the question "What did learners perceive as the most impactful instructional strategy in the MOOC?" is considered as a unit of meaning, the three raters assigned this research question to the thematic category labeled learning experience, while the research question "What are the self-regulated learning strategies that characterize MOOC learners?" was assigned to the category learning process. Determining inter-rater agreement allowed for checking that each category was associated with the proper thematic types. We note that the categories must be explicit and mutually exclusive, and they must make sense in terms of research in the field. Research on content conveyed by MOOCs. Content areas covered by empirical studies. The content in the MOOCs analyzed in the selected studies fell into three categories: humanities and social sciences, science and technology, and information and communication sciences. A wide variety of content was described in these empirical studies. Tables 2, 3, 4 show that the content in the field of humanities and social sciences focused on education, sociology, art and design, policy, business and economics, and psychology. The science and technology category included mathematics, biology and medical sciences, chemistry, computer sciences, and engineering content. The content in the field of information and communication sciences focused on personal learning environments, networks, and knowledge creation and generation. The most frequently covered content categories were science and technology, followed by social science, education, and humanities, and information and communication sciences. Table 2. Content category: social science, education, and humanities. Table 3. Content category: science, technology, and mathematics. Table 4. Content category: information and communication sciences. Content definition in empirical studies. In order to reveal the content conveyed by the MOOCs on which the research studies focused, we analyzed the objectives and tasks underlying these MOOCs and the manner in which the content was conceptualized. While content has not been considered as a central research issue, the objectives of the course and learners' roles were often presented or mentioned in the identified research. Objectives were formulated in terms of the knowledge and skills learners were to acquire. For example, in the Mathematics Learning Trajectories MOOC Ed series, the MOOC titles Equipartitioning dealt with the interpretation and implementation of core standards in mathematics. Soffer and Cohen explicitly set out the main objectives of a MOOC intended to introduce plant biology, and titled What a Plant Knows and Other Things You Didn't Know About Plants. The objectives of the MOOC Fundamentals of Clinical Trials analyzed by Milligan and Littlejohn were explained in terms of the appropriation of concepts and how the results of clinical trials are interpreted. Objectives were also formulated in terms of the soft skills or behaviors to be acquired, as in the Human Trafficking MOOC, the objective of which was to change learners' attitudes and motivate them to combat human trafficking. The Animal Behavior and Welfare MOOC was designed to help students recognize that animal welfare is at the crossroads of several disciplines, such as ethics, sciences, law, and so on. The Change 11 MOOC sought to introduce and encourage interaction in the field of educational technology. Content was also defined through the prerequisites required for participation in the MOOC. Although the MOOCs we analyzed were of broad public interest and were open to all, a few MOOCs specified that some prerequisites were required before one could begin the course. For instance, the study by Engel et al. Specified that the MOOC Introductory Human Physiology was designed to teach physiology to students enrolled in biomedical engineering. Littlejohn et al. Also specified that to begin the Introduction to Data Science MOOC, learners required some basic knowledge. Wise et al. Stated that to begin the Statistical Learning MOOC, the necessary prerequisites included statistics, linear algebra, and computer science. Other studies indicated that certain MOOCs were addressed to a public with a specific professional level. The planning for the Digital Learning Transition MOOC was designed for the professional development of K-12 teachers. The STAT 95 Elementary Statistics MOOC was primarily destined for decision makers in the fields of education and nursing, and for administration personnel, psychologists, and sociologists. Moreover, it required the satisfaction of Elmore Math Remediation, and 2 years of high school algebra. Learner roles and teaching scenarios also helped define the content of the MOOCs analyzed. Learner roles were often structured as learning tasks and the resources required to complete these tasks. Tasks were set to achieve the objectives set in each teaching unit and as assessment tasks which helped ensure that objectives were met. Therefore, according to Fan et al., the MOOC Digital Storytelling presented learning acquisition tasks consisting of watching digital stories on video platforms and a peer assessment activity in the form of students' mini-projects produced and submitted each week, based on the topics created by the instructor. Finally, content was defined through the strategies used to convey content. Indeed, for each MOOC, the author pointed out the strategies that can be used for each of the following factors. Problem-oriented learning with clear and comprehensive expositions rather than teaching a topic concept in isolation. Instructor accessibility and passion, peer interaction, active learning using projects, and course resources to address participants' learning needs. Conceptual frameworks to analyze the content conveyed by MOOCs. Researching the issue of content in MOOCs can also be carried out by looking at the various conceptual frameworks mobilized in MOOCs. Indeed, in order to answer the multiple research questions noted, the empirical studies undertaken adopted a variety of conceptual frameworks. Among the articles that have adopted these conceptual frameworks, 21 of these were explicitly presented and the other 7 were identifiable through the text. The rest of the articles did not state their conceptual framework. Table 5 shows that the conceptual frameworks refer mainly to learning theories such as self-regulation and social learning strategies without taking into account the specificity of the content being conveyed. Table 5. Conceptual frameworks mobilized. Content conveyed by MOOCs as a fully fledged research object. Before focusing on the issue of content as research object, we provide an overview of the recurring research objects in previous research on MOOCs. In the 53 selected empirical articles, we identified 4 categories of research objects: the learning process, learning experiences, predictors of retention, and the design of MOOCs. We illustrate only the first category regarding its relevance to our perspective. Categories of research objects. With regard to the learning process, 2 subcategories of research objects were identified: the determinants of learning, and interactions in the MOOCs. For instance, the research questions addressing the determinants of learning included how participants self-regulated their learning, people's motivations for participating or learning in a MOOC, and the learner behavior in the course. Articles focusing on interactions in MOOCs examined the modes of discussion that characterized the participation of learners in forums, the modes of communication offered to learners, namely asynchronous or synchronous, the processes of interaction between users and organizers in the case of MOOCs, or the modes of interaction and their role in the co-construction of new knowledge. As can be seen by these various studies, one does not question whether or not the content specifies the learning process and or interactions. The same observation could be made regarding the other three categories of research objects. Content is seldom taken into account for analyzing types and conditions of MOOC designs. Predictors of retention as an emotional state, learning strategies, or the experience of students by examining the self, assessment of their progress and the various difficulties encountered in MOOCs. Content as a research object, as presented in the section above, the content conveyed by MOOCs is identifiable through the objectives, requirements, tasks, teaching scenarios, and resources of specific MOOCs, though rarely by way of learning strategies used to convey content. Thus, the content was often placed in the background, as a context of the study, along with other components such as evaluation, certification, and technological features. However, among the 53 empirical studies, 8 articles addressed the content of the MOOC as an object of research in its own right, meaning that at least one research question focused directly on content. Among these is the study conducted by Wise et al., who highlighted the difficulty of learners in a MOOC on statistics to distinguish between discussion forums in line with the course content and those whose content was unrelated to the course. Posts related to the content were those that sought provided assistance, information, or resources directly related to the course subject. These included posts that asked or responded to questions related to the topic, to ideas related to the topic, and to comments on external resources. However, posts unrelated to the content addressed logistical and technical subjects. Wise et al. Thus analyzed the possibilities of using the linguistic characteristics of posts to distinguish them. They came to the conclusion that the linguistic model for classification that distinguishes the posts related to the content from those unrelated to content can be generalized to other statistics courses, even though they considered that the model would be less efficient in other areas. Similarly, Almatrafi et al. Aimed to facilitate instructors' role in MOOCs. More specifically, this study sought to assist them in navigating students' posts in MOOC discussion forums in a more efficient and effective way. The study examined the possibility of building a model that can identify urgent posts in MOOC discussion forums. The authors then used linguistic features metadata to classify posts and identify urgent ones in MOOC forums. They concluded that this model can be used by instructors to accord priority to the urgent messages. Content was also designed as an object of research by Anderson and Ponte, who analyzed the co-creation of content by peers in MOOCs within the framework of a peer-to-peer university. By viewing learning as social interaction and as a zone of proximal development and mutual development, these authors analyzed the interactions among participants in an open education course and questioned what this interaction involved, especially in terms of learning. Watson, Richardson, et al. Distinguished the roles played by designers and facilitators in a MOOC and examined learners' actual experiences with regard to a given content topic, that of human trafficking, and a specific goal, namely to transform participants' attitudes in relation to the subject studied. They also examined participants' learning experience in the light of attitude change. According to these authors, designing and facilitating a course in order to transform learners' attitudes requires instructors to establish cognitive, affective, and behavioral dissonance. They examined the instructional design and facilitation of a MOOC designed to change attitudes on the social topic of human trafficking. Specifically, they analyzed learners' perceptions to determine whether the instructional strategy, general, cognitive, affective, or behavioral, enabled attitude change. In the same way, Watson, Janakiraman, et al. Examined instructors' use of social presence, teaching presence, and attitudinal dissonance in a MOOC titled Animal Behavior and Welfare, from a learner's perspective. Kizilsek, Perez, San Agustin, and Maldonado explored the manner in which self-regulated learning strategies are adopted by learners to interact with course content. The authors investigated this manifestation of SRL along two levels, level of individual transitions and procession activity. Velichsinas et al. Identified the factors that shaped the ways participants used MOOC content, based on learners' interactions in social networks outside of the MOOC platform. The authors found that the ways in which learners consumed MOOC videos were driven by personal and environmental factors. The design of each course seemed to impact the way participants used MOOC content. According to the authors, learners interact with content in multiple modes and in different modalities. But the clearest example of considering content as a research object is illustrated by Quack, who analyzed how MOOC instructors teach academic writing. More specifically, Quack examined the different approaches revealed within the methods in MOOCs designed for teaching writing. The author found that academic writing MOOCs rely on a traditional model of transmitting the writing content. Most current writing MOOCs still focus on teaching and learning about textual structures rather than adopting the more extensive perspective of written language as social context. Table 6 summarizes the different ways in which content was considered as a research object. Table 6. Research articles that considered content as an object of research. Discussion. In the following, the results corresponding to each research question are briefly discussed. First, a wide diversity of content was covered by research articles on MOOCs as highlighted by a number of studies. For instance, Papano stated that Coursera offers a wide range of courses, from computer science, to philosophy, to medicine. This finding can be explained by the fact that platforms and features of MOOCs advance quickly, allowing several new types of content to be integrated into MOOCs. Our results also determined that science, technology, and mathematics, as well as social science, education, and humanities were the content categories covered most, which corresponds with findings from Pundak, Sabag, and Trotskovsky. Second, content was mainly defined in terms of MOOC's objectives, prerequisites required for participation in the MOOC, teaching scenarios, and, rarely, through strategies used to convey content. Furthermore, content was defined with regard to knowledge, skills, and behaviors to be acquired, learning tasks, and the MOOC's resources. Nevertheless, these research articles did not describe other categories of content such as values, practices, and relationships between an individual and a situation or an environment. Despite the fact that content can be a relational or transactional object, we noted that it was not defined, described, or even delimited by making reference to theoretical spaces, disciplines, or even learning actors, such as deducing the manner in which learners understand content from their interactions with the MOOC. Also, no studies seem to have specified, for example, what they mean by programming content, digital technology content, and so on. Third, analysis of the conceptual frameworks mobilized clearly reveals a paucity of studies on the fate of the content created and transmitted in MOOCs. Although the conceptual frameworks used in the empirical studies focused on learning strategies, they did not relate these to the content in question. Fourth, our study highlighted that content is rarely considered as a research object in its own right. In the few articles that addressed content as research object, two orientations can be distinguished. On one hand, the content is analyzed from how its transmission conditions are designed, such as presenting, interacting with content, or facilitating its transmission. On the other hand, the research deals with the correspondence between content and the features of MOOC as transmission media. However, these research articles do not explicitly consider theoretical perspectives centered on knowledge, for instance, modeling the content's disciplinary structure, or the cognitive levels required to learn content through a MOOC. Such theoretical perspectives would ask questions regarding what disciplinary knowledge structure and what knowledge, skills, and abilities are required to learn a specific content. Furthermore, the learning difficulties concerning a specific content are not tackled. Indeed, only one research article identified the various difficulties encountered by participants learning the abstract concepts of JavaScript programming. As a result, future research can consider dealing with the difficulties experienced by MOOC participants when learning specific content. However, we have shown that a great deal of research is focused, generally, on the learning process. This was emphasized by Raffaelli et al., who outlined that massive courses are based not only on learners' self-regulation strategies, but also on their interaction with peers. Conclusion. The research review presented here reveals several issues related to the research on content conveyed by MOOCs and offers a possible path for future research, but it has several limitations. The findings of our study are limited to searching using the keywords MOOC or massive open online course. In articles published in English between January 2012 and January 2018. Furthermore, the scope of our study was intentionally limited to include 5 top educational research journals. Future work could consider a broader scope by including recent conferences, theses, and books using databases to allow for further analysis of global trends in research on MOOCs. However, in both the literature reviews and the empirical articles presented previously, it seems that the content of MOOCs is little investigated in MOOC research. In particular, most MOOC research focused on the learning process, often related to the determinants of learning and interactions in MOOCs. MOOC researchers could benefit from exploring the difficulties experienced by participants when learning specific content. By investigating these difficulties, instructional designers could enhance the design of MOOCs. More specifically, the didactic approach, which has received little attention in the available studies, may help define the learning process and the factors that influence it. Indeed, a MOOC involves content characterized by both a didactic intention and specific components. We think that focusing on content, specifically according to a curricular didactic approach which examines content choices, how they are organized, and their consistency and relevance in relation to education and training missions and orientations may be a promising direction for future research. Several possible questions emerge related to this research orientation. How does a MOOC specify or transform the content it conveys? What are the implications of an open and widely accessible course in terms of the principles of the development, transmission, and appropriation of this content? And finally, how do these principles enable learners to construct basic knowledge essential to the course? This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. Goodbye.